This is Omaha Sports Insider with Joe Quinn and Nick Handley on your radio at AM 590, online at AM590ESPNradio.com, and on your smart speaker. Ask Alexa to open AM 590 Omaha. Now, here's Joe and Nick.
15 minutes from right now, Tony Boone going to join us. Omaha World Herald covering UNO basketball tonight as they will compete for a Summit League championship and a spot in the Big Dance. We got some stuff on that. Nick, I want to touch briefly on this Russell Westbrook thing, though, because, you know, what was interesting about this was not necessarily the fact that Westbrook got into a verbal altercation with a fan, because that happens from time to time, and usually the fan gets thrown out, and, you know, in this case, the Utah Jazz have gone ahead and banned this guy for life. Yep. But what was interesting about this is they interviewed the fan afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, like, they let the fan give, like, it must have been a local news station. They let the fan give his perspective on all of this. So we have all of these pieces of audio. Okay, well, we'll play the altercation for you, and you can kind of hear it, kind of not. You're going to hear a lot of stuff bleeped out because Westbrook is dropping the F-bomb a bunch. Then we'll play Westbrook's account of what happened for you. Then we'll play the fan's account of what happened for you. Yeah. And you can kind of decide, you know, on your own who you want to believe. So here's the altercation that was caught on camera between Westbrook and this guy, and his wife subsequently was sitting next to him. So, a lot of bleeps out there. You can tell that there was some expletives going back and forth between these two men.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to really pick up that, but you do at one point, the part of that exchange that made a lot of headlines was that you could kind of hear him say that I'll F you up.
You and your wife.
Your wife, and referring to his female companion while standing next to him. So, that was the part that kind of got the attention from the side of the fan. Now, what you're about to hear, too, Russell Westbrook's account of this, what kind of peeved him and got him fired up, this is what he had to say.
A young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans in, around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. But there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. Never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate. Humble. I take whatever, all the criticism from everybody. I've been doing the same thing for years. And for me, disrespect would not be taken from me. I'm completely just sit back some time and just take it like that's just one video, but throughout the whole game, since I've been here, especially here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said. And for me, I'm just not going to continue to take the disrespect from my family. And I just think that there's got to be something done. There's got to be some consequences for those type of people that come to the game just to say and do whatever they want to say. And I don't think it's fair to the players, not just to me, but I don't think it's fair to the players. And if I had to do it over again, I would say the same exact thing, because I truly will stand up for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for my mom, for my dad every single time. I expect anybody else to do the same. So that's kind of where I'm at with the whole situation. As for beating up his wife, I've never put my hand on a woman. I never will. Never been in any domestic violence before, never had before. But once he said the comment, his wife repeated it, the same thing to me as well. So that's kind of how that started. I know you guys only got the tail end of the video, but the start of the video is way more important and way more disrespectful than what you guys heard.
So, in the aftermath of this, as you mentioned, the fan, who you're going to hear from here in a second, has been issued a lifetime ban, Nick. Several of the Utah Jazz players, including Donovan Mitchell, who's one of their better players, it really kind of went to bat for Russell Westbrook in this whole thing. You know, the video clip that we played for you, which had a lot of bleeps in it, obviously, that's where he's talking about beating up this guy and his wife, which obviously not appropriate on Russell Westbrook's part. And as you heard Westbrook say at the end, the beginning of the video is, in his eyes, more important, or I would certainly say just as important as what we all kind of saw at the end. Here is the fan, a guy by the name of Shane Kiesel, his account of what went on between him and Westbrook.
He's got to be a professional. I mean, she was sitting down the entire time. Me and him were just, it was actually, we were kind of having fun, to be honest.
At least you thought you were having fun?
Yeah, he was smiling at one point, and there, I mean, there was a lot of people, because it was when, you know, Joe would come by and poked Paul George in the eye, and then Joe goes over and apologizes immediately. Russ is just F-bombing and carrying on, acting a fool down here, and everybody's getting on him. And he had, I guess, heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat. That's heat. And I'm like, well, you're going to need it. And then it turned into not safe for work.
So that's what provoked his response. There was no swear words. There was
I
no.
I never said a swear word to him, and everybody in the vicinity will say it. And she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap. Never said a single swear word to him. Not one. So, like I said, initially I was like, oh, I'm talking with Westbrook, you know? I mean, the guy's one of the greats, but he's also classless. I don't care. He can threaten me all he wants. I was the one talking to him, but don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man. I mean, never said a word to him. Her first NBA game ever. Welcome to the NBA, Jen.
Well, and there's... You're getting both accounts of this, and this is the issue. And just listening to what he said, as much as you're absolutely right. You don't threaten a woman. If this indeed is what happened, and he said what Russell Westbrook is claiming he said, I don't care where the hell you're sitting. And this is part of the problem with people who sit courtside. They feel the money that they spend at a professional game gives them the right to jab at players to a level that they can cross a line. And I don't know if this is true, but if it is, as much as that guy is accurate in saying you don't threaten a woman, you do not say that to any human being, even if it is a player who is making millions of dollars, just because you are lucky enough to sit right there. We've talked about this so many times. There has to be boundaries. And sometimes those boundaries are crossed both verbally and physically. And once again, I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't there. You're hearing Russell Westbrook's account, and I'm sorry, but if what Russell Westbrook is saying, that this guy said, that was conveniently left out in that interview, yeah, I didn't swear. Well, according to Russell Westbrook, you didn't swear. But you don't always have to swear to cross a line there, too. If he did indeed say that, and the Jazz are saying, yeah, we're booting him out for life, sorry, man, you know what? Yeah, one part of that, you're right. And that is, you don't threaten a woman, but you also don't say things like that.
Yeah, and Nick, I don't know what to believe or who to believe here because I haven't seen the first half of this video. The Utah Jazz, I mean, look, they're a pro sports. Going to a pro sporting event is a privilege. It's not a right. They can refuse to sell tickets to whoever they want, right? As long as you're not discriminating on this guy based on, you know, his age, gender, race, right, anything like that. I mean, you had an inappropriate reaction in the eyes of their players, right? Because, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, I know there was some other guys too. TJ, maybe you can help me. I know Donovan Mitchell was the big one who came out to support Russ Westbrook and all of this. If they feel like you had an inappropriate interaction from the stands with a NBA player, they can ban you for life. I'm sure that's on the back of the ticket. They have the right to eject anybody for X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, it's not like they're threatening to throw this guy in jail. It's not like he'd get let off in handcuffs. They're just saying, you're not welcome here anymore, okay? We can debate whether that's right, wrong, or otherwise, but I think ultimately they're probably within their rights to do this. This is just one of those things, man. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what exactly was said. You know, Russ is saying that he was told to get down on his knees because that's what this guy said. This guy's telling him to sit down and, you know, ice his knees.
Right.
I don't know. You know, if that message got got relayed inappropriately, is
possibly
it appropriate for Westbrook to threaten to beat up this guy's wife? No, probably not. I think certainly not. But, again, there are boundaries here, Nick, and you're right. There are a lot of games that you go to. I've sat in these seats before at various events. people who have money can pay big bucks for these things, think they can say whatever they want and get away with it. But at the same time, does that make Westbrook's response appropriate? No, probably not. Don't know what
sitting courtside? I never have, man.
Yeah, not in an event like this necessarily. Okay. But I've sat, you know, ice side at NHL games before. Okay. I've sat NBA D League games where you have, you know, right there in the seats.
You're rolling.
I've never sat. Cow. I mean, I've sat courtside at college games before, but not anything like, you know, an NBA game like this. But look,
I've sat in courtside in media row.
Yeah, I mean that too. That's cool. You get your fair share of stuff.
I try not to heckle when I have a media.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's a good call. You're gonna get tossed. You will get tossed out for that, by the way. Yeah. They probably won't invite you back. But look, I don't know. I'm interested to see what the NBA has to say about this because I'm going to take a guess and say. Now that there's been some back and forth, I will assume the NBA will try and see if anybody else has any footage of the first part of this, to see the first part of the interaction between the two, to see what really set it off, what was said.
And I'm sure that I would assume that the Jazz might have reached out to some of the fans around.
I would assume so.
Gentleman and his female companion. Now, TJ, you have some tweets from this guy from a year ago to maybe give a little bit more... A little bit more insight on the kind of dude he is?
Yeah, so these were tweeted out a year ago. He has now put his Twitter handle private, so you can no longer see all of his tweets. So these were snapped before he all of a sudden did that, which you kind of think, why would he all of a sudden have to do that?
Screenshots.
But here he tweets, Westbrook is a piece of classless bleep. Somebody needs to kick his, I'll just say, bum. Hashtag tool, hashtag poor loser. And then Russell Westbrook needs to go back where he came from, hashtag MAGA.
Oh, jeez.
There you go. So maybe this guy, again, and part of, you know, another plausible explanation is he realizes he got caught and he's trying to play the victim card, and that doesn't go over so well sometimes either.
The moral of this entire thing is, and even with those tweets, I'm not ready to say, well, yeah, then okay, then obviously this guy did exactly what Russell Westbrook said. I tend to believe the guy that hasn't had these incidents with fans on the floor, and trust me, when Russell Westbrook is on the road, it's not like everybody is just praising him. They're probably giving them business. And correct me if I'm wrong, I've never really seen him get into it to a level that made the headlines like it did yesterday with fans. So for something to set him off at that level, I'm just going to assume, and sometimes it's dangerous to assume, that at least there was one thing, maybe more, said that was very disrespectful to the point that it crossed the line. The moral of this is, just because you paid an arm and a leg for those seats does not give you the right to go at these athletes. Yes, these athletes make a lot of money, but these athletes, it does not give you the right to cross lines like that, especially if we're getting into racist territory. But even that, to cross the line just because, hey, you know what? I paid money for these seats. I'm going to say whatever the hell I want. Like, I feel like sometimes that is the attitude of some fans when they are at professional sporting events, that they sit up there. They feel like they're a high roller, they're big time, and they can do whatever the heck they want because that's just how they are. I'm sorry, you can't. And I'm glad the Jazz took the action the way that they did. I'm with you. I'll be very curious to see if other people around this guy heard any more and give us a little bit more context to this, to see maybe who is a little bit more accurate and their recollection of what actually took place. But once again, it's not like Russell Westbrook is a very emotional, fiery guy. I can't really remember, though, any time that he's gone to these lengths with a fan based on some kind of interaction. And just kind of hearing some of those tweets there, yeah, it kind of gives you maybe a little bit of an agenda against Russell Westbrook. But once again, until we know exactly what was said, I'm not going to go either way. I just think it should be known. Not just for this guy, but people who sit courtside, just because you paid that much money does not give you the right to all of a sudden cross the line when it comes to interacting with players.
We are like big time anti-entitlement today on this program. I kind of like it. You know, college admissions thing and then this guy.
Well, and then when you actually get audio, not only just from this dude, but also from Lori Loughlin's.
Olivia Jade.
Olivia Jade, Lori Loughlin's daughter. Well, that actually got my blood boiling even more than this whole story because just – and then the 1.9 million followers.
I know. It's just disgusting, doesn't it? Yeah. Hey, Pat actually has a good question here. He says, how is a lifetime ban actually enforced? And essentially, most arenas, from my experience, like, they have a blacklist of people, so to speak, that – in reality, it's not as long as you think it is. It's not like they have, you know, thousands of people that they have banned for life. Most of the time, because they have banned you, they can then arrest you like for criminal trespassing since you're not welcome on the property. 99.9% of the time, that's enough to keep most people away because they don't want to go to jail for coming. I mean, look, if you get booted from an arena like this and banned by the team, most people are going to walk away with their middle finger in the air saying, well, I'm not going to be a fan of this team anymore. To hell with all you guys. And that's the last you're ever going to hear of them. Every now and again, I'm sure they have people try and sneak back in. Some people probably do it successfully. But generally speaking, I would think the threat of criminal prosecution is enough to keep these folks away.
Shane,
I
mean, Kiesel, you done messed up, A-Ron.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, it's actually a legitimate question because it's like, ooh, do they have these like, on facial recognition software? Like, maybe some places do. I doubt it's that complex. They probably just say, you're not welcome here anymore. They revoke the guy's season tickets, tell the ticket people not to accept his credit card anymore because, I mean, you know, that's an easy way to do it. They put a block on his account or whatever. So you have to show a fake ID to buy tickets, which, I mean, I don't know. This guy's going to go to that level to go back into a Utah Jazz game at this point now that they have publicly shamed him and banned him for life. And I'm sure they tell him, if you ever come back, you'll be arrested for trespassing. That's enough to get most people to stay away.
I want to know how much he paid for those seats. Because I saw the video. He's got, like, the camouflage Jazz hat on. He's got the Jordan top on, like
it's probably a lot, man.
He's dressed like a 25-year-old.
I mean, court sides for an NBA game, like,
yeah, they're not
several
cheap.
Hundred. I mean,
unless you won some kind of contest.
I mean, let's call it like it is. I'm sure they're not as expensive at Utah as they are in like Los Angeles, but still, I got, you know, a couple hundred bucks at least, if not more.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a cheap night.
No. But you know, hey, he'll save money in the long run because he can no longer spend money on those tickets.
Does he get a refund for that? I bet he doesn't.
No.
I kind of doubt it.
I think you lose your money on that one.
All right, big game tonight here locally as Omaha, UNO, will be playing for the Summit League Championship against North Dakota State. Tony Boone covers the Mavs for the Omaha World Herald, and he joins us to break it down next on AM 590.
ESPN Omaha. About 2.5 hours away from the Summit League men's final, as it'll be Omaha taking on North Dakota State. And we were kind of mentioning some of the things going on around. I do know that there is a watch party at the DJ's dugout at Exarban Village. I'm assuming that Dudley's and Polly's in Exarban Village would also as well, or at least I'm sure they're going to have the game on. They're not going to turn you away if you want to go watch the game there. And
No, we're not going to watch any.
Yeah, UNO, like, no, sorry.
No, can't do it.
Sorry.
Can't do it.
We got a World Series of Poker on tonight. We're not going to let you do that. UNO Alumni Association pregame rally is going on starting at 6:30 tonight. That will have complimentary food and exclusive Maverick basketball gear for sale from the UNO bookstore. Game tickets are not required to join the UNO Alumni Association pregame rally. That will be at the Denny Sanford Arena. So just find the signs there, and that'll take you right there. Tony Boone is out there in Sioux Falls, the calm before the storm. Tony, boy, let's go back to last night. I felt like there was a lot of similar feel that we saw against North Dakota on Saturday when it came to UNO just not able to kind of run away with that game, much like we saw against North Dakota, to where it was a nail-biter at the end. What were you thinking in the last 3 minutes when you see the scoring drought for both of these teams, and then all of a sudden John Conchar gets the basketball at the very end?
Thinking the same thing that I tweeted at that time. There's no doubt that this game's going to come down to one possession, and John Conchar is going to have the ball on that possession. And to think that that has happened now twice in the three games that these two teams have played this year, and then both times that guy missed that shot is unbelievable. If you'd have told me that, hey, in the last two times that UNO and Fort Wayne will play, Conchar will have the ball with a chance to win at a last-second shot, I think the chances are UNO probably goes 0-2, and at best comes out of those at 1-1. And the fact that they won both those games, especially the one last night with so much on the line, is just incredible. And I don't think there was a person in the world that when that shot was released last night thought it wasn't going in until it got about mid-flight. And you go, okay, there's a chance that this thing may bounce off the rim.
And, Tony, you know, we were talking earlier on in the show just about just the mental fortitude of being able to go through the final 3.5 minutes of a game where there's not a single point scored, to be able to grind it out, you know, tough it out, gut it out, whatever you want to say, man, that to me maybe says more about this UNO team than anything else that they've done this year.
Well, absolutely. And I found myself after the game, you know, you're so in the moment and you're watching things develop at the same time. You're trying to write a quick version of a story to get it out there. You know, as soon as it's over, I found myself after everything was all said and done, I'm like, what happened during those 3 minutes? Because it just wasn't coming back to me. And, you know, I knew that they had the shot where Conchar tried to follow it up and it got stuck in the crotch of the rim. And that's only because that's really strange to happen. So, of course, you're going to remember that. But I was trying to recall, what did UNO do on its possessions and things? But yeah, it takes a lot to get through something like that. And again, I think as much as anything else, UNO was able to A, grind one out again last night, and B, they were a little bit fortunate too. The Conchar just happened to miss.
You think back to what this team has kind of gone through throughout the year. You know, you get the 17, 18 point deficits that they overcome, and on the flip side, have some of those leads where they relinquish those leads. I said this last night that I always feel like they have the answer at the end, whether it's a defensive stop and maybe even a little bit of luck, or they just are able to make the shot. I felt like that has to mean something. And I know we'll find out for sure, but I mean, do you kind of get that a little bit of that team of destiny type feel, or is that maybe going a little bit overboard?
Well, I think you always think that when these times come, but then, you know, when all the hubbub starts to pick up too, you always feel like you're being set up for the big knockout punch that's going to come later, you know?
True.
If you keep getting through these, and then that makes the hurt even more, you know, when it all comes crashing to an end. And you mentioned how some of the UNO games have gone this year, and it hasn't been any difference. And it almost really isn't different across this league. This is what happens. And I want to take nothing away from Nebraska and its big win over Iowa the other day, but when I saw people tweeting about that game and the magnificent comeback and the fantastic finish, I was like, this is every single night in the Summit League.
Yeah.
Now, given not at a high level like that is in the Big Ten, it's definitely a difference in the level of conference. But that's how tight these teams are. That's how close these teams play. And that's how well they know each other. And they take things away late in games, especially when you're talking about a third matchup here. I mean, who thought that Omaha and Fort Wayne could play a game in the 60s? That's like unheard of. These teams usually play like the 94-88 overtime game, you know, no matter where the court, whatever court they're being played on. And to think that those teams had to grind it out and weren't scoring at the end, that's not the way you would think that something like that would have been decided, especially between those two teams.
Well, and Tony, you know, I think when we talk about the Summit League, you know, a lot of focus goes on UNO, obviously, here locally, but South Dakota State's a team that gets brought up a lot. Fort Wayne with Conchar. I know South Dakota's been really good the last couple of years. What are your thoughts about North Dakota State, the way that they enter this matchup tonight against UNO?
Well, I think they're a team of the future, first of all. They don't start any seniors. This is a team that's going to be better later than it is right now. They obviously got a little bit of a fortunate draw on their end of it because South Dakota State got knocked out, but they also took out a team that, and fairly handily, I might add, that UNO couldn't beat this year in Oral Roberts in the opening round. And I know that UNO won the two matchups with the Bison this year, but I felt like they had to grind them out both times, both up in Fargo and back in Omaha. So I expect nothing else other than that coming tonight. I think North Dakota State probably is a little bit deeper right now than what UNO is as far as its bench play goes. But if you look man-to-man across the starting five, you'd have to give the edge to the Mavs. And there's a big reason why they're going to be a favorite in this game. I just don't expect it to be something that's going to be done easily, especially when you're at the final day of a tournament where one team's played 3 days in a row and the other team's really had to grind out two hard wins. I just think that it's one of those that might just be who has something left at the end of it that's going to decide this thing.
Juan Yang Tut, Tony, has been really big off the bench. And for a guy that has really kind of struggled offensively, and especially in the paint, where we've seen it so many times where he's got the look, just can't finish. Boy, he's been big. How big of a role do you think he has tonight?
Well, I think it could be different than last night. Last night, he didn't have as big a role as what he had the night before, but I think that had everything to do with matchups. You know, he didn't see as many minutes, but he made the most of what he did on the opening night, that's for sure. And first of all, he got rolling. He got a couple of buckets early. It led to four in a row. I think that built some confidence going into the second half. He got free for a dunk in there, and then he also got left open on the wing and knocked down a three. And that's what you want to do if you're a bench guy. I think Mitch Hahn, when we talked about it the day after, said it the best. He's like, you know, you don't want your 3 minutes to be wasted minutes. If you're going to go in and not know how long you're going to be in there, go in and give everything that you can and try to be as productive as you can in the time that you're allotted. And Juan just certainly did that in the opening game. And, you know, I thought Io stepped up last night and had some big minutes and obviously had the big 4-point play in the second half that allowed UNO to hang on to that lead a little bit longer. Now, I know Fort Wayne eventually did catch them, but at the time, that seemed huge. It was a 4-point game and it went to 8. And UNO was able to buy a little bit more time because he knocked down that 3 and then got fouled and knocked down the free throw right behind it. So bench play is going to be key. These guys have been big. I kind of wrote about them a couple of days ago that, you know, this is the time of the year. Especially when you're playing a team that's seen you a bunch of times where somebody that you don't expect kind of seems to step up. And it happened to be Juan Yang, you know, on the opening night of the tournament for sure. And UNO needed every bit of that because, you know, its starting guards were kind of struggling that night.
Tony Boone of the Omaha World Herald with us talking to UNO Maverick basketball. They got a big one tonight, Summit League Championship game against North Dakota State. Tony, what for you personally do you think it does for this program, for Darren Hansen, just for the trajectory of everything, if they manage to pull this thing off tonight and get that first NCAA tournament berth?
Well, I guess the first thing, just for the school as a whole, I hope that some of that happening would answer the questions about why the move to Division I was made.
Yeah.
UNO needed to stay relevant in the athletic landscape in a community that has another Division I university and has the big brother, you know, less than an hour away that are attracting all the attention. And in today's world where people don't seem to have a lot of extra money to spend to go out and do things, and on top of that are involved in so many activities with their own children and things like that, it's hard to get people to want to come out and go to a basketball game. Now, are you going to go out and you're going to see, you know, UNO play against the Northwest Missouri States and Fort Hays States of the world? You know, and that's nothing against those schools. I love small school athletics. I spend a lot of my career covering small school athletics. But that's not what's going to allow you to survive in a big community like Omaha. This is something that they had to do to stay relevant. And, for the vision of John Christensen and Trev Alberts and everyone that was involved in making that decision and knowing, you know, the backlash there was going to be because of it, I think it shows some real sight on what the future could be for this university. So first of all, I think it's big for the school if that happens. For Darren in this program, obviously that's a huge step because, you know, you're competing against teams in this conference to get the majority of the money when it comes in from the state. And that's not what's happening at UNO. So you're fighting a little bit of an uphill battle when you're going against the Dakotas because they're the number one priority up there and you're not necessarily in Nebraska. But you go to the NCAA tournament a couple of times, people take notice. And suddenly, you know, that recruit that might be looking at both ends up, you know, wearing the black and the white instead of wearing the green and gold. That's actually happening tonight. There's a couple of guys from Nebraska, you know, who are starting the starting lineup for North Dakota State. And I'm not saying they necessarily picked North Dakota State over UNO in both of those cases. But in one case, I know that the Mavs were definitely in on that guy during the recruiting process. Maybe you win those battles going forward if suddenly you're the team that's going to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, just looking at the Summit League as a whole, 5 of the 8 members right now have never been to the NCAA tournament. Oral Roberts hasn't been there in a long time. This is a league that for the last 7 years has been either South Dakota State or North Dakota State. And if UNO can find a way to punch its way through and suddenly become that other team that people have to think about, you know, when it comes this time of year, I think would be a big deal for Darren and for the program going forward.
Tony, the experience factor, not by a lot of the guys that will have a role tonight, but Mitch Hahn, Zach Jackson, they were there 2 years ago. Mitch was a big part of that game and that just fantastic South Dakota State matchup. How big is that experience alone, in your opinion, when it does come down to tonight's game, knowing that you are now 40 minutes from accomplishing something this school has never accomplished?
Well, I think it is a big deal. And, you know, JT Gibson would have played in that game too. Mm-hmm. KJ Robinson didn't see a lot of minutes that year, but he was on the team and backing up, Tre'Deon Hollins in that game as well. So it's not just those two, but there are some guys, 4 of your 5 starters have been there in this moment before. That can't be said for North Dakota State. And like I said, they're a young team. They don't even have a senior in their starting lineup. So if it does come down to, you know, who might wilt in the big moment, you have to think that UNO won't. And just seeing this team, as you mentioned a little bit ago, Nick, you know, grind it out time and time and time again and find something to do, whether it's get a big shot, make a big stop, you know, have some kind of play down at the end that decides it. You'd have to think that this is a team that has the capability to do it because they've been there and done it before.
Tony, is it okay? Is it perfectly normal to kind of have that unsettling feeling in your stomach right now as we get closer to tip-off?
Oh, I think so. when everything around me started changing because, you know, we have a columnist coming up. We have a photographer coming up. Yeah. You know, you realize, you know, we're in a bigger moment now than what we were 24 hours ago. And we don't even have anything at stake. We're just here to cover the game and have a job to do, whether, you know, the home team wins or not. But I know the guys are comfortable as far as UNO players go. They've been game after game after game, just looking to the next one, and they've really not deviated from that platform, and I don't think that they will going into tonight either. You know, they've been really solid throughout this whole season. They've always just envisioned the next one, and they've been very businesslike, and if they were anything but that tonight, I'd be really, really shocked.
Well, and Tony, just real quick, has there been any discussion, I know the team would never talk about this, but amongst folks up there, you know, where UNO could potentially land seating-wise if they do manage to win tonight? I mean, 15 most likely, but is there a shot they could get a bump up to even like a 14 spot?
There hasn't really been any talk about it. If it has, it's been within the media room. And it's more to the sake of, like, you know, the Summit League champion, if it has 20 wins, is not a 16 seed. So, you know, and I know that was one of the bracketology things that came out earlier this week that maybe had, you know, sitting at a 16 once South Dakota State, got knocked out. I don't think that will be the case. I thought that South Dakota State, you know, just by the fact that they would have been there for a fourth year in a row and had Dom, you know, might have even got the benefit of getting up to like a 13, maybe even a 12, you know, just because they had like well over 20 wins and a named player and, you know, a history of playing well there. I mean, they almost knocked off the 5 seed or at least played them tough, you know, here the last couple of years. So UNL probably wouldn't get that same benefit of the doubt, but I don't think with that many wins and winning in this league would put them all the way down to that point. I think you'd probably be looking at a 15 or 14.
Tony, got to get to break. I got to let you go, but I do want to ask you, there were quite a few turnovers. It seemed like some guys got sped up a little bit last night. Any concern of that? Do you think that was just kind of what Fort Wayne was able to do and kind of force those mistakes?
Well, I think it's a concern, and hopefully it's one that they really think about, you know, going into tonight's game, because that one we didn't see coming. You know, they had been so consistently good at taking care of the basketball, but when it got to 8 by halftime and some of them were sloppy and some of them were just uncharacteristic, you're like, you know, how bad can this get? And it really never changed in the second half, and that kind of allowed Fort Wayne to get in it. Now, that being said, Conchar had an off night shooting. He had 7 turnovers himself, which is very uncharacteristic there too. So the turnovers ended up evening out, but at the same time, you know, you just didn't see UNO wasting possessions like that throughout the regular season. Maybe nerves got to him a little bit because they knew it was a big game. Hopefully they can settle it down and play a little, at least safer with the basketball tonight. I don't necessarily think they were careless last night. Just a lot of things didn't go their way also, but it certainly should be a priority for them going into tonight for sure.
Tony Boone on the Maverick beat tonight, Summit League Championship. You know, North Dakota State, 8 o'clock, ESPN2. Tony, we hope you are writing a recap of historical nature for this basketball program. Enjoy it tonight.
Yeah, you guys enjoy it too. Take care, guys.
You too, sir. All right, we got some new news, Nick. Breaking news.
Is this the Kansas thing?
This is the Kansas thing.
Oh, my gosh. This is, wow.
Just when you thought today couldn't get any better, man. KU football. Wow. This is next on AM 590.
ESPN tomorrow. So the most Kansas football headline that you could ever imagine is actually taking place right now, and that is that the former KU football coach David Beatty, who was fired back in November, is now suing Kansas and essentially suing Kansas because he is claiming that Jeff Long is now going back on his promise to try to pay the $3 million buyout because Kansas athletics officials immediately began discussing what it would take to avoid the $3 million payout, emphasizing the need, this is quote, the need to find something on Beatty such as a dead hooker in his closet. Say what?
Well, and this, the shocking thing here is he's alleging that he is owed these back wages, which means that he hasn't been paid his buyout yet. I mean, that's
none of it.
Ooh, and you know, normally when you terminate somebody, like at a university, I would think that it's in his contract that they have to provide him like written notice of, you know, here's the notice that you're terminated. You know, I guess the deal here is Kansas is trying to find dirt on him, which, you know, shame on them for, you know, because David Beatty, like, Nick, he wasn't a good coach at Kansas, but nobody's a good coach at Kansas. And David Beatty is generally regarded, I think, as a pretty good dude within, you know, the college football coaching ranks.
That's a weird thing. So, like, Jeff Long typically has been considered
A
high principal type dude, I guess.
Jeff Long's brought in to be a hatchet man to try and fix Kansas football, and maybe he thought the first step was trying to avoid a $3 million buyout to David Beatty.
Well, apparently David Beatty decided to stay for the rest of the season because they had come to the agreement of, okay, it's going to be a buyout. You're going to be, you know, you're going to get a $3 million buyout plus all of the, you know, the different things that come with it. Well, and that's why David Beatty essentially agreed to stay on as KU's football coach, because this was not going to be any kind of firing with cause.
Well, and what I don't get here is, according to, this is a note from his attorney, by the way, so obviously he's a little jaded towards Beatty's side, but he claims that in November, Jeff Long emphasized publicly, privately, and in writing that Beatty's termination was without cause and the coach would be paid the $3 million owed under his contract. So,
which is why he agreed to stay on.
Has he not done that? I mean, is that the insinuation here? Is that, yes, this is all lined up and the check just hasn't come yet? Or are they still trying to find some reason to fire him with cause? Because I don't think you can do it after the fact. I think if you're going to fire him with cause, like, you have to present them with, you're being terminated with cause,
right,
and here's the cause, and here's the reason why. You can't go back, like, afterwards and try and find a reason. Like, that's not how it works.
They're putting $330 million freaking dollars into a football complex upgrade. You're telling me that they don't have the $3 million just laying around, that they could probably give them a lump sum check, much like Nebraska did to Mike Riley?
Supposedly they've tapped the brakes on that, by the way. That they're not like as aggressively pushing. They want to, I guess I had heard that they are trying to get their football like program in order first and give like Les Miles a big fat recruiting budget and stuff before they shill out the $330 million.
Which actually makes more sense than putting up something like
that. This guy got to bring in your hatchet man.
When you have
Jeff Long.
Terrible, terrible, terrible football program. So, yeah, this is bizarre. This is absolutely bizarre. It's like the part is find dirt on him any way possible, including dead hookers in a closet. What?
I'm just like, anything today in collegiate athletics doesn't surprise you.
Such things?
Nick, they're a public university. I'm assuming that his lawyers can, you know, under freedom of information, request records about his employment termination and, you know.
David Beatty on the road. Those dead hookers. What? What is this?
Can't tell you.
This is Kansas football, folks, right there.
Pay the man his money so he'll go away quietly and this never has to see the light of day again.
So you think your football program's struggling?
Yeah. No joke,
I introduce to you the Kansas Jayhawks.
Big night tonight. Got the Summer League Championship game involving UNO. I'll tell you what's on tap. That included, of course, next on AM 590.
Yes, beautiful.
All right. Final segment of each and every show. It's time for What's on Tap, a look around the sports world tonight. What you can watch, where you can find it on the tube. Great place to go and check out all of the action is Cunningham's Pub and Grill, 108th and Dodge in the Old Mill area. Craft beer, smoked wings, whole nine yards. You're going to love it, guaranteed. Great TV setup, too, in Cunningham's. There's literally no walls or anything really in the place, so it's just wide open. They got TVs all over the place. Excellent spot to watch all of the hoops action starting tonight and going forward.
They'll have it on the deuce, baby.
I'm sure they will.
I'm sure a lot of places in Omaha will, as it's UNO taking on North Dakota State. 8 o'clock is the tip from Sioux Falls, ESPN2, with the coverage on that one. So big matchup for the Mavs trying to punch their first ticket to the NCAA tournament in men's basketball program history. Also, a big top 25 matchup. You do get the West Coast Conference Final tonight. That is at 8 o'clock on ESPN between St. Mary's and Gonzaga. Did you know that even the ACC tournament got underway today? So Miami won.
The very opening rounds. I saw Notre Dame was up big at halftime over Pitt, I want to say. Yeah, these are the teams in the ACC that people, I think, sometimes forget are in the ACC when basketball season rolls around that played today.
Yeah, 6 o'clock starting the America East Men's Championship semifinal. That's Vermont and Binghamton, ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus also has the other side of that. The America East Men's Championship semifinal with Hartford and UMBC. ESPN Plus on that. ESPNU will have Boston College Pittsburgh as the ACC tournament continues. As far as some of the finals, the mid-major finals, the CAA Men's Championship final between Northeastern and Hofstra, that's on CBS SN at 6 o'clock.
Think Hofstra there?
Totally.
They're looking pretty good, man. Looking hot.
The Horizon League Championship Final, which, by the way, is sponsored by Little Caesars.
Horizon League used to be a really, really, really good conference.
Wright State in Northern Kentucky.
Not so much anymore. However, at one point, the Horizon League, when like Butler was in it, that was one of the really hot mid-major leagues out there.
The MEAC first round gets underway tonight. Coppin State and Morgan State.
Oh, boy. Exciting. The really good stuff, I feel like, gets underway tomorrow, Nick. Big 10, Big 12 tomorrow. You get some of the more meaningful games in the ACC. I want to say SEC either started today or starts tomorrow with some of the more meaningful games. So tomorrow is when things really, really take off. And obviously, we got mid-major hoops tonight, UNO. That's tonight, UNO. Creighton will get their spot. Creighton plays Thursday, correct?
Thursday, we got Xavier.
Creighton today, Nebraska tomorrow, Creighton on Thursday.
Omaha today.
So UNO today, Nebraska tomorrow, Creighton Thursday, maybe Nebraska again on Thursday.
Maybe.
Hopefully Creighton on Friday if you're a Jays fan wanting to see him in the tournament. I think winning one would certainly go a long way to help getting them on the right side of the cut line. So that's what we're looking at the rest of the week.
Very, very excited for tonight.
Do we have any news, by the way? Are we still kind of in wait-and-see mode for baseball this weekend in terms of?
Yeah, I feel like they're probably going to be making an announcement soon. I know there's been talk about either playing in Lincoln, maybe two on Saturday, one on Sunday with this rain coming in.
Kind of wait and see mode.
If that doesn't happen, I know there's maybe even talk about trying to move to a different location just a little bit south, perhaps in Kansas or something. But I would say that information should be, because they're going to have to make a decision, especially New Mexico State traveling in.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling in the next 24 hours you'll probably find out what is going to be happening with the baseball weekend for Nebraska, which is supposed to be underway at Hawks Field this weekend against New Mexico State. If that doesn't happen, well, they'll give it a shot again against Air Force on Tuesday and Wednesday, a midweek series. So
fair enough.
Rain,
all right.
Rain's stupid.
Enjoy UNO basketball tonight, ESPN2 with the television coverage. And Nick, you got some time to kill before the game starts.
I know. I just want to go watch it now. So nervous.
You'll find something to do.
I'm excited.
Sure. All right, enjoy that tonight. We'll be back breaking it all down for you tomorrow, too. We're off at 4:30, by the way, for the Nebraska basketball pregame show. So, abbreviated program here on AM 590 starting tomorrow here on AM 590.
ESPN tomorrow.